We'll look into the Senate's idea of economic stimulus. Hi, David Brancaccio here. Senators plan to vote today on a new economic relief bill, a so-called skinny plan that opponents say has little meat on the bone. Given that more than half the 22 million jobs lost since February have not come back, will there be new federal stimulus? Marketplace's Scott Tong joins us here from Washington. Scott, this was crafted by the Republican majority in the Senate. What's in there?
Yeah. Well, we have been reporting on enhanced benefits for the unemployed since the economy cratered. This bill would provide an extra $300 a month, which is about half the help back in the spring. There's also a second round of loans for small businesses, the so-called Paycheck Protection Program, and there are liability protections for businesses and healthcare providers. Add it all up, and it's far less than $1 trillion, which is why Democrats call it emaciated rather than skinny.
Which means what? This fizzles?
This is not expected to pass a procedural vote, which needs 60 ayes in the Senate. The unhappy Democrats note that there is no second round of stimulus checks for workers, which had been discussed on Capitol Hill about a month ago. The extra unemployment money is to many inadequate, and there's no help for cities and states in the red. So if and when this fails, the economic finger pointing begins, perhaps till the election.
And meanwhile, despite some improvement, the real economy is still in trouble.
Yeah, well, the jobless rate has fallen from 14% to 8.4% right now. Still, some 11 million Americans who had been on payrolls earlier this year still are not.
All right, Marketplace's Scott Tong, thanks. Restaurants in the biggest U.S. city will be allowed to have people dine inside starting at the end of this month. Restaurants can run at 25% capacity. Alcohol can be served, but no sitting at the bar. Masks on, except while seated at the table. A week earlier, more than 300 restaurants had sued New York Governor Cuomo and the city's Mayor de Blasio for $2 billion over this. Is 25% capacity enough to keep restaurants afloat? Here's Marketplace's Erica Barris.
Even in normal times, running a profitable restaurant in New York City is tough. Margins are thin and there are lots of costs. Labor, food, high rents. Now add personal protective equipment and reduce your seating to 25%. Christopher Mueller, former hospitality professor at Boston University, says,
for many places, that's not going to be enough to make a return to business profitable.
But it's a step in the right direction, says Melissa Fleischut, president of the New York State Restaurant Association.
If you have a robust takeout and delivery currently, if outdoor dining has been working well for you, this will be an additional piece to help you build back.
Before the pandemic, New York City restaurants generated about $25 billion a year in revenue. Alex Suskind, a professor at Cornell University, says other industries feed off the restaurant business.
It's important for tourism. It's important for the lodging business. It's important for everything.
And he says if restaurants can make a comeback, then the city can't begin to recover. I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.
The stock market, 3 days down, yesterday up, today things looking down a bit. At the moment, NASDAQ, S&P, and Dow futures are all down about 0.6%. Bankruptcy protection laws can save lives. According to multiple published reports, a pair of big shopping mall owners have reached a tentative deal to buy the JCPenney department store chain out of bankruptcy, the reported price $800 million. If this is finalized, it means 70,000 JCPenney jobs at 600 stores will be saved. Nearly 250 locations will still close. COVID pushed JCPenney over the edge, but it was struggling long before.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
U.S. border agents arrested 38,000 people at the U.S.-Mexico border in July. That's more than double from April. A Border Patrol official says the increase is largely because the agency is rapidly sending single adults back into Mexico without detaining them amid concern about the coronavirus. There's another reason the number of people trying to come to the U.S. is up: Mexico's struggling economy. Here's Marketplace's Andy Euler.
Even before Mexico's first confirmed case of COVID-19 in February, Latin America's second largest economy was in a recession.
To say that the Mexican economy is not doing well is a major understatement.
Fonda Fulbaugh-Brown at the Brookings Institution says over 34 million people are out of work, and some 40% of the Mexican population lives in poverty. Duncan Wood runs the Mexico Institute at the Wilson Center. He says things are getting worse. Economists predict the Mexican economy will shrink some 10% this year.
Now, that's huge. That's more than one in 10 of every dollars of the Mexican economy is disappearing.
He says tourism generates more than 15% of Mexico's GDP, and that's all but collapsed. And Andrés Manuel López Obrador, Mexico's president, is reluctant to inject government stimulus into the economy, which isn't helping.
During an intense, profound crisis, why wouldn't you open the purse strings and use this as an opportunity to, you know, strengthen the economy so that people can stay employed and that there is food on the table?
But because they can't, and there often isn't, more Mexicans have been trying to cross the border for work, often without the proper documents. Richard Feinberg teaches political science at the University of California, San Diego.
Unemployment has increased dramatically, and people desperate for income to support their families are looking to go to the United States.
Mexico is also struggling to stop the spread of the coronavirus. Fonda Fulbaugh-Brown at Brookings says there's limited access to testing and little opportunity to work remotely, especially for people who work in Mexico's huge informal economy.
Oftentimes, they don't have any access to insurance or health care, and their livelihoods are precarious that necessitates that they work daily.
The COVID-19 official death toll in Mexico recently passed 60,000, and many suspect the true count is much higher. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
Portland, Oregon City Council yesterday passed the broadest ban on facial recognition software in the country over concern about biased systems. In addition to preventing city departments from using it, it stops private companies that serve the public as well. Individuals can still use it. I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.